Over the last couple of weeks, we talked about worry, and sometimes if we're not careful, today's topic is going to be adversity, facing adversity. And if we're not careful in many aspects, that adversity sometimes will also lead to worry, and sometimes that worry can even bring on adversity. And I hope to be a blessing to you this morning. We've had a word of prayer earlier. We've read our text, and so I'm going to go ahead and get started this morning. Adversity. A state or instance of serious or continual difficulty or misfortune. Adversary. adversary. One that contends with, opposes, or resists an enemy or an opponent. Strong's Greek Hebrew dictionary describes it this way: an opponent as in a lawsuit, or an opponent, especially Satan, as the arch enemy. And dear friends, we do have an adversary, and he is the devil. And as I've told you before, I have preached from this passage, but I'm taking a whole different approach within this passage. But he does not run around in a red suit with a pointed fork. But he is out there, and some of us may feel like we might see him this week. But I'm telling you, the adversary will use others to discourage us, to bring worry, or even to hurt us. But as much as we wish that we didn't have to face adversity, the bottom line is we really do. You're not going to escape life without escaping adversity. And at times we might even cause the adversity to others unintentionally. But that's a whole nother story. See, we do face disappointment. Things are expected, did not materialize, and we feel it deeply. We do face defeat. We tried hard, but success was elusive, and failure found its way to our door. We do face betrayal. Folks we had much confidence in or confided in turn on us. Their friendliness faded. Anger was expressed toward us. Their actions reflected in adversary. We do face deficiencies. Thinking ourselves capable, we discover that every ounce of our energy cannot move that mountain. But yet, we do face these things. We do face feeling detached. Without any intention to do wrong, we wind up sitting on the sidelines. And by the way, that means the adversary is won. Come on. When we end up sitting on the sidelines because of defeat, because of disappointment, because of betrayal, because of deficiencies, because of being detached, he has won because we are on the sidelines. We become spectators instead of participants in the greatest arena of all, the place where the servants of God contribute in Christian service. We do face fear. The fear of man, the fear of rejection, the fear of retaliation, the fear of failure, the fear of being canceled socially. You see, fear, when allowed, is into the driver's seat of our life, can steer us far away from the roads to blessings. The joy of serving God is robbed. We do face struggles. We try. We cry. We try again. We cry more. We become frustrated or maybe even embarrassed. Some of us even tend to cry when Tide doesn't get all the dirt out. We're just an emotional mess. Something or someone has us confused, and we can't keep control of the biblical foundation as we know that we should because of our struggles. Disappointment, defeat, betrayal, deficiency, feeling detached, fear, and other various struggles. You been there? Yeah. Maybe some of us are going through some of that now. In fact, maybe some of us don't realize it, but it might just be around the corner. Folks, I don't know about you, but Monday morning sometimes can be a bear. But needless to say, whatever day it is, we face these things. Notice in our text in the first part, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I hope this morning to help you, and I hope not to discourage you of what we looked at so far. But I'm going to encourage you to hang on. Don't despair. Don't turn me off as we look at 1 Peter chapter 5 a little closer for some help on how to face adversity. Now, we live in a time where we're all about self-help. We're all about, well, Google that, YouTube that. You know, we're all about going somewhere to getting that help. Dear friends, let me remind you, encourage you, there's so much help found right here in the Word of God. And we need to realize it doesn't matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, or what we're going through, the Word of God has answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to pretend to know it all, but I would like to share with you just a few things that it is on the back of your bulletin. You don't have to write it down, but if you want to write down a few other things that might help you help yourself. But how to face adversity. Number one, realize that hardship happens in the real world. Just understand, it happens in the real world. We do not live in glory yet. And just because you got saved doesn't mean everything's going to be better. We live in a world that is what where Satan is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Just understand, we are going to have adversities. The devil is on a rampage, and he will try to do you damage. Again, in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Just be aware. Don't be fearful. Just be on guard and realize that hardship happens in the real world. Number two, don't expect a pass from this sin-cursed world. Don't look out for freebies. Things are going to happen. Notice verse number 9. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one. We don't get a pass from this sin-cursed world. We're going to face adversity. We're going to face hardship. We're going to face difficulties. Folks, I'm going to tell you, in all honesty, this is one of the hardest Octobers that I've ever lived in my life. Not the most difficult, the second most difficult. The first most difficult, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But looking back, is Michelle having her back surgery, going through those things, me putting back on the apron, helping more around the house, trying to be help to my wife, helping with the grandkids back to school, all the things that she used to do. I thought I had everything under control. Things were going well. And then one night I'm sitting in my chair and, a perfectly good tooth cracked from the bottom all the way up. I'm sitting in the dental chair. I believe Michelle believes this. The Antichrist is a dentist. I hope no one's a dentist here today. And you never want to hear these words when the dentist says, oops. I'm going to have to get the oral surgeon in here. There was no saving that tooth. It got extracted and I got stitched up. But I tell you what, and sometimes that was only one day. And things sometimes just compound and the devil discourage you. And then all of that, as I'm suffering with this foot pain and bone spur or whatever it is. So my tooth was hurting so bad, I forgot about my foot. Praise God, that was a blessing. But then I forgot to put my daily treatment on my foot for 3 days. Now that I'm off the Tylenol, my foot is killing me. It's been one of those months. But guess what? I made a decision this morning. Actually, I made a decision the other day. My sweet wife. For those of you visiting who just sang a while ago, and her word study, she loves to study God's word. She says, you know, I learned something today. She goes, you know, we can really choose to be joyful no matter how we feel. Hey, well, after all, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My happenings around me have no reflection on what God has given for me. And we're going to face the difficulties. Realize the hardship happens in the real world. Don't expect a pass from this sin-cursed world. And then number three, never give in to the worldly pressures of life. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Never give in to the world. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Just stay with it. And dear friends, believe me, there were days this past several weeks that I'm saying, oh Lord, it's time for a vacation. It's time for some relief. But yet, here we are. In verse number 9 again, as we look at this, not giving in to the worldly pressure of life, we read, whom resists steadfast in the faith. See, when the devil shows up, you should have enough spiritual savvy to identify him for who he is. We should be so filled with the Spirit of God that we have the character and the courage to be steadfast and resist him. Resist the counterfeit offer of Satan. He has nothing good for the Christian. He just has empty bait. I enjoy a little fishing. Haven't gone in a while, but I enjoy it. And man, I look at some of those lures sometimes on those spooners. I thought, man, if I was a fish, I'd go for that. Satan does the same thing. He lures out there what was appealing to the eye, what looks good, what might smell good, what might be attractive. And for some of us guys, you girls know, if it's shiny, it turns, we're going to look again. It's just us guys. Satan knows that. Never give in to the worldly pressures of life. Number four, remember to see adversity in the light of eternity. Not just recognizing eternity, but see it in the light of eternity. It is only a temporary condition. Notice verse number 10. After that, ye have suffered a while. See, living in the real world, you can expect to get hit once in a while. And it's no surprise when you put on the pads and get out there on the football field and somebody says, hut, hut, and the ball takes off and somebody hits you. Hey, in the living in the world, you can expect blows from Satan. You're going to expect some difficulties on occasion. We always have a better day coming because it will not last forever. The Lord is coming someday, and heaven is our eternal home. Today, friends, escape might be today, or it might be tomorrow, or it may be sometime in the future, but it will come. Man, something just popped in my head. I don't know why, but man, I can't even remember his name. I think his name, have you ever heard of Jerry Clowers? Some of y'all may have heard some of his stories, Christian storyteller. But I remember him telling a story about being out coon hunting and getting out there and running the dogs and chasing after them. The dogs had found one and they got him up in the tree. And I guess there was a problem. So one of the guys decided to climb up in a tree with a stick and they were going to knock that raccoon out of the tree. The problem is he got a little bit too close and the raccoon got a hold of him. And then he yelled down to his friend, shoot up here, please. Somebody's got to have some relief. It was either him or the raccoon. Folks, I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel like somebody whacked me or the battle I'm going through. I got to have some relief. Sometimes it's just that way. But we must understand adversity in the light of eternity. It's not going to last forever. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have good times. We're going to have bad times. And right now, for the second time, another sports analogy. Right now, for the second time in the history of the Diamondbacks, fans are enjoying what used to be nothing but losing seasons. They just hung in there. And dear friends, we may feel like we lose a few battles. We've been knocked down, knocked down, knocked down, and knocked over. But yet, the Lord is there. A Christian brother, sister are there to help you up. But dear friends, one day that's all going to end. It's all going to be over. We just have to keep getting up and keep moving forward for the Lord, because adversity is going to come our way. There's no way to escape it. Dear friends, you can't even be a hermit and lock yourself when you're up in your house and avoid adversity. Go ahead, ignore all the world. Then what you got left? A phone and internet? And then it goes off. Then there goes your adversity. You're going to have it some way, somewhere, somehow. Just realize it's there, and I know that it's going to end eventually. Number five. This is really a good one. Remember, who's your source of strength? Remember who's your source of strength. Our Heavenly Father. And verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, your hopes may be dashed, but there is one who has called us to be something higher, and that is his eternal glory. You see, he is my source of joy. He is my source of salvation. He is my source of encouragement. And all the encouragement I need, all the help I need is found in him, is found in the Word of God. And he provides brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us and somehow, some way, know when you're a little bit down. Boy, how encouraging it is to have a spouse or a friend or a family member say, hey, seems like you're having a rough week. How you doing? How about you let me buy you breakfast or buy you a cup of coffee? Folks, I don't know about you. That just reminds me that, hey, oh boy, my source has let my brother know to come encourage me. And that encourages me. It excites me to know, because I know who my source is. Not only do I know who my source is, I know where he is. He's not buried in a tomb. He has risen. I know exactly where he is. Number six, referring to our source, remember that his resources are available. His resources, not only that, they're always available. His resources will always meet the demands of our burdens. And verse number 10, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. His resources are available. And like I've heard the old country preacher said, if my Lord owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, he can sell off one to feed me. And dear friends, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what we're going through, God has a way of providing not only the source of strength that we need, but he also provides the resources. And dear friends, he will never run out. Here's what another good thing about it. He's not like the government. He doesn't put a cap on it. He shares it willingly and freely to all that come to him. There is no limit of supply. There's no ending source of his blessings that flow toward us as we depend upon him. Number seven, practice praise in the victories. Don't muddle around into defeat. Don't muddle around in discouragement. Remember, when things get back up, when things are going well, why not praise him and thank him for his goodness? There is always something to praise him about. Practice praise in the victories. Verse number 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, preacher, how do we do that when things are difficult, when things are hard? Yeah, Michelle had her major back surgery. It was hard. I had to pick up the slack. Praise God, I got to spend more time with my wife. Boy, that tooth coming out sure was painful. Praise God, it was only one. Hey, there's a way. The glass is either half full or half empty. Why not get excited and thank him for his goodness and his provisions? Practice the praise in the victories that God has given him. Now, there's a biblical principle that we've gotten away from. If you go back and read your Old Testament, does it remind us once in a while by example and by word to rehearse and to tell the family and the generations of the goodness of God? When is the last time that you shared a blessing with a child, with a grandchild, with a family member, with a church member of the goodness of God? Christmas has come around the corner. My wife loves Christmas. I mean, no sooner than the last piece of turkey gets carved, the Christmas comes out. Trees are decorated. We'll have a beautiful tree set up in the living room. We'll have a regular Christmas tree. Then we'll have a Christmas tree of Christmas past. With all the ornaments of the children and grandchildren have made, they'll be hung up on that tree. And then she might even set up another tree. In fact, she likes trees so much, she has a tree for every season. She'll have one for Thanksgiving too. But there's one thing I like about Christmas is when we sit down with the family, whether long distance, Facebook, or FaceTime, and distance going back and forth, or talking with our kids and them carrying on the traditions, we always had a tradition that each of us wrote a letter to Jesus every year and put it in the tree. And we would read those letters. And now that the children are gone, Michelle will pull a few out from Christmas past of the children when they were real little, sometimes the same age as their children they have now. And we'll read some of those letters and we'll talk about it. And it's joyful for me to hear the kids talk about certain Christmases. And then eventually some things carry over and they talk about some of the goodness of the Lord and his provisions through the years. And hear that rehearsed with our children and telling stories of how good God is. Dear friends, practice praise in your victories. It will allow you to anticipate when the devil comes in, things start going sideways. Instead of panicking, worrying, oh, what am I going to do? Let's say this, you know, wow, what a mess. Well, once this is over, I'll praise the victory over it. But while I'm here, I'm going to do my best to be Christ-like, because he is going to give us a victory. He is going to help us. We just have to make up our mind if we're going to allow the Lord to work in us, to work through us, and intervene. We're going to look for a way out, a way under, a way over, or we just going to go ahead and walk through it with the help of our Lord. Because adversity will come, and we will face it. And I realize sometimes that we feel like we're getting more adversity than we should. I can't explain it. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a son of a theologian. I know at times we feel like we go through great adversity and we don't understand why. Again, I can just say this. I know my God understands. I know he'll make a way. I know he'll comfort you if you allow him. He will direct you if you allow him. He'll do all these things if you will allow him. And dear friends, I decided, and I have to remind myself, but I have decided that I'm going to have joy in my life. I'm going to choose joy no matter what my circumstance is, because my eternity, my future is secure. I'm just a little uncomfortable in the present, but victory is just around the corner. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist will make her way to the piano, and we'll get ready to close here this morning. Again, if you would, just bear with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll ask a few questions, have a word of prayer, give you an opportunity to reflect and pray where you stand or here at an altar if you would like to come and pray. But if you're here today and there's no one looking around and you just maybe will lift your hand up and down, I don't need to know the circumstance. You just simply say, "Preacher, pray for me. I am going through some adversity. Preacher, pray for me." Yes. Anyone else? Yes, I see those hands. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, thanks. I think there's some things might help me the next time I step into adversity. Pray that God will help me to apply these things." Yes, I see those hands as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Give these things over to God and just understand the reality of the world that we live in. We will face adversity. It's how we handle it and how we anticipate the victory that God will give us and how we'll praise him for helping us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy, of service and fellowship. Father, you know the hearts. You've seen the hands that were raised this morning. I pray you'd move in our midst and provide the comfort that is needed. And that, Father, is anyone here today that's just bewildered, that's confused, and really doesn't know because at their adversity right now, their problems they're having is they don't know where they spend eternity. And, Father, I pray that you would help that one to come and speak with me and give me an opportunity to tell them about the love of the Lord Jesus. Father, work, we do ask in Jesus' name. With heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed.